Somebody better check on Eddie Kingston. I'm very worried about him. I've been checking for updates here the last few seconds. I hope he's okay. That was one hell of a finish. I got to tell you, when this pay-per-view was over, I did not expect that my reaction to the exploding barbed wire death match was going to be one of comedy. Tonight was the night. If your last name was Page, I was going to say that this was your night, because we had a cameo by Diamond Dallas Page. We had Hangman Adam Page, who won his match against Matt Hardy. We had Ethan Page making his AEW debut tonight. But he was not the big debut that AEW was promising. Oh, no. That was only one of the surprises that this company promised you tonight. The two big things promoted for this pay-per-view were the exploding barbed wire death match between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley, and the brutality and the violence. And there was blood, and there was violence, and there was barbed wire. There were there were explosions. So that was one of the things that was heavily promoted. The other thing that was heavily promoted in the last few days, and not just on Dynamite, but by Tony Khan in multiple interviews and podcasts, was the signing of what they said was a major, major star. Hall of Fame worthy major star. Tony Khan said it's one of his all-time favorite wrestlers. So the question is, when this show was going to end, would they have satisfied the fans' expectations? And I would love to come on here and tell you that AEW went on pay-per-view tonight and that they blew everybody's expectations sky high. But I honestly, when I watched the end of this show as the clock was ticking down, and I thought to myself, my God, is the ring going to implode? I mean, what are we expecting here? I saw Eddie Kingston run to the ring. He was trying to shield Jon Moxley. It was like a scene out of a movie. I thought, boy, they're really setting up for this big dramatic finish to the pay-per-view. And I wish I had a goddamn sparkler here somewhere. I've seen Goldberg make entrances with more pyro than we had with that final explosion at the end of this pay-per-view. What the fuck was that? Unfortunately, I think it was a gigantic botch at the worst possible time, at the worst possible moment. And I assume this because as Eddie Kingston is laying on Jon Moxley's lifeless, bloody body, trying to shield him from the impending explosion, putting his own life on the line, I, honest to God, as I was watching this so-called explosion, and if I were AEW, I would have tried to pass it off like this, but I guess they didn't have enough time to really think on their feet. I thought for a moment there that we were going to have Don Callis and Kenny Omega come out on stage and just point and laugh, like when an evil villain makes you think that a bomb is going to go off in a movie and then it doesn't. Remember Die Hard with a Vengeance, when everybody thinks the bomb on the boat or the bomb at the school is going to go off, and instead it sprays like maple syrup in the guy's face or something. I thought it was going to be, you know, the heels would come out and be like, ha ha, we got you. But no. No, Eddie Kingston is laying there. The referees and the doctors are checking on him, and I'm thinking, did he have a heart attack? Why is he laying there like that? That was one of the worst endings to a pay-per-view that I have ever seen. And I feel bad for the people involved, because I think that when Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega look back on this, they're the ones who are going to be most pissed off and most upset about how this all went down. And it's a real shame, because they went out there, they put their bodies through hell. I applaud the effort or the stupidity, but I at least thought we would get some kind of cool ending. And what we got, as I said, was one of the lamest, most disappointing, embarrassing finishes to a main event that I have ever seen on a wrestling pay-per-view. To make matters worse, I said there were two big things they were promoting coming into tonight. The barbed wire exploding death match and the big signing. And everybody has been speculating now for days and days about who the big signing is going to be. And I said, you know, at this point, unless it was someone like Brock Lesnar or CM Punk, nobody was going to be able to live up to expectation. Kurt Angle coming in. You know, I love Kurt, but who cares? Kurt Angle is past his expiration date in the ring. He's done. There were only a small handful of names that really would have made a big difference. And then I heard the name Christian. I heard the name Christian bandied about. And the rumors suggested, oh, Christian, you know, his negotiations for a contract with WWE fell through and he could be the one coming in. And this was the cardinal sin that AEW committed tonight. This was a mistake of their own making. They have nobody to blame but themselves for this. I don't want to hear people blaming the fans. All the fans set their expectations sky high. What the fuck do you think the fans do? When you make a big announcement that we've got a major blockbuster signing of a Hall of Fame worthy guy, a huge, huge star, where do you think the fans' minds are going to start to go? Who do you think they're going to start to think about? They're going to start to think about the biggest names that you could possibly come up with. And they stoked the fires and stoked it and stoked it. Tony Khan continued to talk about it. They doubled down on it. They doubled down on it. There was no way they were going to be able to live up to expectations. If Christian Cage, and by the way, it's Christian, much like when he came back to WWE all those years ago and he walked out on ECW, oh, it's Christian. When Christian walked out tonight, imagine for a moment if AEW had not said anything. Imagine if AEW didn't say a single word about there being a major acquisition or a major signing. If they just went and promoted the street fight with Sting, right? Sting's first match in 5 years. They promoted the death match. They didn't say anything. And in the middle of the pay-per-view, Christian comes walking out, fresh off his appearance in the Royal Rumble. People would have been shocked. And I think people would have been a lot more, I don't know if the word is appreciative or not, but people would have been like, wow, I didn't see that coming. And I think you would have caught people off guard. It would have been well received. Because you weren't setting expectations sky high. I think the reaction would have been very, very different if Christian would have come walking out tonight, but they didn't say one word about hyping up some kind of debut or special appearance. So I don't even blame Chris. It's not Christian's fault. You know what? I'm happy for Christian. Christian has been sitting on the sidelines for, what, 7 years? He got sidelined because of concussions. He had his career cut short. His career did not end on the terms that he wanted it to end on. And now he's got a chance to write this whole new chapter of his career. I'm happy for him. I think Christian is going to be able to contribute to AEW. I think Christian can go out there and have very good matches. And he can challenge people like Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley and others. So I think Christian is a perfectly fine acquisition for AEW. But when you build up an announcement like that, the fans are going to have certain expectations. You can't play dumb and pretend like they don't. So, yes, the fans do. They set their own expectations. I don't want to hear people just blaming, oh, it's all the fans' fault. It's all the fans' fault. Not AEW's fault. Bullshit. Of course they bear the blame. Of course they bear some of the blame for that. What do you expect when you make an announcement like that? They did Christian no favors by using some of the words they used to build this up. So those are the two things this pay-per-view was promoted around. You had an ending to the main event that went over like a fart in church, and you had a new debut that, while it's fine, was a major disappointment. And unfortunately, it's going to color a lot of people's impressions of this pay-per-view, which I thought on the whole, I thought if you take away some of the stuff I just mentioned, there actually was a lot of really good stuff on the show tonight. I thought the cinematic match was probably the best thing on the entire show. That is how you feature Sting. If you're going to put Sting in a situation where he's going to have a match, I don't think you could have done a better job than what they did tonight. I thought the way that was shot, the way that was produced, the way it came off, I thought was excellent. know, the ladder match, there was some good action in the ladder match. I kind of have ladder match fatigue, to be honest with you. I feel like it's, you know, we've seen a lot of that shit already. There were a few other matches on the show I thought that were pretty good. I think the word that really sums up the key stuff on this show is disappointing. That ending was something else. I still can't get over what we saw there at the end. I legitimately thought that we were going to have Kenny Omega come back out and say, gotcha. And when he didn't, and I watched poor Eddie Kingston, I wish they were mic'd up. When Eddie Kingston was holding the back of his head, right, shielding himself, and he was laying on top of Moxley, you know, the two of them were probably whispering and talking to each other. I would have loved to have known what the dialogue was between those two. Probably a lot of four-letter words being thrown around. Fuck, shit. That was one of the most embarrassing finishes that I have ever seen. By the way, this is your Revolution review, your AEW Revolution review for 2021. I am the Solid Monster. I hope you guys are having a great night. It is now officially Monday morning because this show was very long. AEW doesn't do pay-per-views every month, so they maximize their time. And this pay-per-view did not end until a little before midnight. So I shall try not to keep you all too late, but we are going to run through this entire show. So let's get into this, shall we? This was quite the event. This was quite the night. I'm already seeing some hate here from some of the AEW fans. Well, you know, hey, tough titty said the kitty. That's how it goes. Sometimes you win some, you lose some. You got to call it like you see it. It was a very strong card on paper, but I had a lot of issues with this show that I'll get into as we go along here. The one thing I will say, I believe I had a clean sweep, aside from the pre-show match, but it's the pre-show match, so I'm not going to count that. I think I had a clean sweep as far as all my predictions for the night. I think I pretty much hit them all on the head. So, that doesn't happen very often, but it happened tonight. The buy-in pre-show match was Thunder Rosa and Riho taking on Dr. Britt Baker DMD, and it was supposed to be Britt Baker and Reba. Reba was supposed to be in this match. Unfortunately, she was feigning a knee injury, and Reba did not participate. She came out on crutches, and Britt Baker said she had talked to Tony Khan and had wrangled herself a replacement partner, and that replacement partner turned out to be Maki Ito, who is a favorite, I know, probably of some of you joining me here right now. Maki Ito was the belle of the ball when it came to that women's eliminator. People were very upset when she was eliminated in the opening round. She was there tonight, partnering with Britt Baker. She got a big response from the crowd, 1,300 people at Daly's Place, which is their biggest crowd, their biggest live audience since the start of the pandemic. Britt Baker was working over Riho, and Maki Ito, she has these spots. She's like a comedy character. That's how she comes off anyway. She's entertaining enough. I like her. I think that I have no idea if she's going to be making more frequent appearances on TV or if she only flew in for a few weeks and then she's going to go back to Japan. I have no idea. But Britt Baker hit an air raid crash for a near fall on Riho. Thunder Rosa made the save. And Thunder Rosa hit a DVD on Britt Baker for a two count. Maki Ito jumped in for the save. Riho then did a dive out onto Maki Ito. So with the referee's back turned for the finish here, Reba hit Rosa. Rosa was on the apron, and she hit Rosa with one of her crutches. Actually, she might have been in the ring, but she hit Rosa with one of her crutches. Britt Baker covered Rosa for the win. I thought it was a good pre-show match. Maki Ito, fun surprise. And that win, I was kind of hoping that win would put Britt Baker back in the hunt as far as being in line for a shot soon at the women's title. I'm ready to see someone else carry the title. I just didn't think tonight was the right night for Sheeta to lose. Now, did she lose? I don't want to spoil it yet. I'm not there yet. I'm going to get to that. We're going to get to that match in a little bit. If you didn't see the pay-per-view, I won't spoil it for you right now. The pay-per-view itself opened with a tribute graphic to Jim Crockett Jr., one of the most influential figures in the history of pro wrestling. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that. I did a whole segment on him on episode 694 earlier today. Well, yesterday, I guess, on Jim Crockett. And I hope you'll check that out. I'll get that up on the channel probably in the next day or two. if you want to check the segment out there. Jim Ross. Jim Ross sounded rough. I don't know if he had been doing interviews or something where he was using his voice for a very long time and was sort of losing his voice, or if he was just sick and under the weather, but he sounded terrible. Noah Mark, you know, Noah, one of my buddies, texted me. He said Jim Ross sounded like a frog who had gargled 1,000 razor blades. He actually sounded worse at the beginning of the night. It got a little bit better as the night went on. But he did not sound good at all. I don't know why they didn't just have Tony Schiavone and Excalibur carry the load. And you can bring Taz came out later on. And those guys could have carried the show just fine and, you know, give him a chance to rest his voice. Because especially the first half of the pay-per-view, ugh, he sounded like shit. I hope he's okay. You know, they got other people who can carry the load. You know, if your voice is not up to it. I mean, me, if I'm gonna stream, there ain't nobody else here to do this stream. It's pretty much just me. You know, but AEW has different announcers. It's like, you know, you can give your voice a rest for a night. It's okay. Show opened with the AEW tag team titles on the line. It was the Young Bucks defending against Chris Jericho and MJF of the Inner Circle. It was one year ago at Revolution. The Bucks had an outstanding, classic tag team title match against Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. One of the best tag team matches, honestly, that you will ever see. All of the accolades that match got are well-deserved. That's how good that match was. And you also had the benefit, of course, of that being in front of a hot crowd live, which you did not have tonight. You had 1,300 people. And they were hot as they could be for part of the show, but you're never going to be able to replicate that experience. And now I see on my screen, I just saw what John Gotti dropped on me. You crazy bastard. Just dropped a $400 super chat. I don't think that AEW spent $400 on their pyro for that main event tonight. I think John Gotti just dropped more than what the AEW budget was for their explosions in the main event to send me a super chat here on the street. So to the good professor, I thank you. AEW could use somebody like you next time. They want to do one of these exploding barbed wire death matches. So this match tonight between the Bucks and the Inner Circle, this was not the Bucks against Hangman and Omega from last year, but I thought it was still a very good opener. Lots of interference from Wardlow. In this match, he tripped Matt Jackson from the floor to turn the match in Jericho and MJF's favor. They cut him off for a bit. Eventually, Nick Jackson got the hot tag. I'm looking at the boy. You know that people have a lot of opinions on what they saw tonight. When I can't even keep track of what's going on in the chat, it is going so fast. I cannot even see all the comments. I'm going to have to go back when we're done tonight and reread some of this stuff in the chat. Springboard Destroyer by Nick Jackson to MJF only gets him a near fall. Avalanche Blockbuster by the Bucks, again, only gets a two count. There was a spot in here. I thought this was kind of a cool spot where Nick hit some. It was like a springboard facebuster is what he was going for. He quote-unquote mistimed it. But he mistimed it right into a Lion Tamer by Chris Jericho. I thought that was a cool spot. MJF and Jericho, they worked over Matt Jackson. Jericho hit Nick Jackson with a code breaker when Nick tried to get involved. MJF had the referee distracted. Jericho on the floor took a baseball bat. He took Floyd the Bat to Matt Jackson's back while he was standing on the apron. Oh my God, there he is again. Look at this guy. There's the professor again dropping another $100. John Gotti has dropped $500 on the stream tonight. I don't even know what to say. An amazing show of support. An amazing show of support from everybody, but wow. That's going above and beyond. Holy crap. I don't think anybody is topping you tonight, so thank you. Thank you to John. So Jericho takes a bat to Matt Jackson's back here in this match, and MJF hits the Heat Seeker, and Matt Jackson kicks out. Now, it was a great near fall, very close near fall. I bought it for the finish. But then I'm watching this and I'm going, you know, it would be nice if somebody got hit with a baseball bat for that to be the finish. But instead, Matt Jackson kicked out. Bucks hit stereo crossbody dives, one out to the floor, one in the ring that looked bad because Jericho is standing there and he turns around probably a little too soon. And the Bucks aren't quite ready to do their dives yet. They have to sync them up. So Jericho has to stand there like a fucking idiot and look at them and wait for them to dive. So that looks stupid. Bucks hit the BTE trigger to Jericho. MJF made the save. Bucks hit about a dozen super kicks in a row to MJF, ping-ponging him back and forth. And then they hit Jericho with the Meltzer driver, and Matt Jackson pinned him to retain the titles and get their revenge for murdering Papa Buck a few weeks ago on Dynamite. Again, I thought it was a very good match, very good opener. And it would be one of the few real highlights of the show tonight. Unfortunately. We have the Casino Tag Team Royale, with the winner earning a future AEW Tag Team Championship match. 15 teams entering at 90-second intervals. We had the Natural Nightmares out first, Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. 5 and 10 of the Dark Order were out next. Then we had Santana and Ortiz of the Inner Circle. They were out next, followed by Matt and Mike Seidel. By the way, quick plug for Critiques and Connoisseurs. I know JD and Big Hodge, they have a new show on their YouTube channel where they drink some fine spirits and talk wrestling. They had Ortiz of the Inner Circle on their show, former House of Glory alum. Very cool stuff, so be sure to go ahead and check that out if you didn't see it. We had Matt and Mike Seidel came out. Evil Uno and Stu Grayson of the Dark Order were out next. So now the Dark Order at this point had 4 representatives in this match, and we still hadn't seen Alex Reynolds and John Silver. So there was a lot of Dark Order representation in this match. Everybody but -1 was pretty much in this match. We had Austin and Colton Gunn, the Gun Club, out next. The product of Billy Gunn's semen. Peter Avalon and Cesar Bononi, they were in next. Varsity Blonde, Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison. So then we had some drama between the Natural Nightmares. QT Marshall dumped both of Billy's sons out of the ring, and Dustin was very upset because I guess they too are members of the Nightmare family. I mean, what the fuck? I think everybody at this point is a member of the Nightmare family. They have about, 47 members of the Nightmare family. Can you blame the guy? It's kind of hard to keep track of who's joining this Nightmare family. And Dustin Rhodes was very upset about this. I mean, what the hell is the guy supposed to do? You're trying to win a match. Dustin's been doing this for a hot minute. You would think he would know this, but he was very upset. And QT Marshall basically said, the hell with this. And he eliminated himself. He jumped out over the top rope, and then he spat in the direction of Dustin, and he walked away. And so I guess the Nightmare family now is down to 46 members. We had Bear Country, Bronson and Boulder, Jurassic Express were out, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. We had an awful elimination for Evil Uno. Marco Stunt got involved in this, and Marco Stunt hit a Hurricane Rana, and it didn't really go the way that they had planned for it to go, and Evil Uno had to literally run himself halfway the length of the apron, had to run himself into the ring post, and then fall to the floor for the elimination. This looked fucking terrible. Marco Stunt had no business being involved in this. He made Evil Uno... Well, I can't even blame Marco Stunt. Evil Uno shouldn't have sold that bump the way he did. He looked like a fucking idiot. So that looked terrible. We had The Butcher and The Blade. We had Private Party, SCU, Bear Country eliminated Luchasaurus. The Butcher then quickly dumped the Bears. The Bears. Came down to Rey Fénix and Pac, John Silver and Jungle Boy. And I like that. That's where things picked up here in this battle. Up to this point, I didn't really give a shit about this. It was just a very basic battle royal, nothing special about it. Things really picked up here at the end when they got to the final four. I liked it, though, because if you look at who was left, Rey Fénix, right? Rey Fénix and Pac, so one full team. You had Jungle Boy and John Silver. These were the likeliest teams to win. So I thought it made for an unpredictable finish. You could have made the argument that any of those guys could have won the match. So I like that. Rey Fénix kicked John Silver right in the face, right off the apron to the floor he went. That left Jungle Boy all by himself against Death Triangle. Pac's momentum took him out over the top rope, so Pac was eliminated. We came down to Rey Fénix and Jungle Boy, two of the shining young stars of AEW. Rey Fénix is one of the best in the world at what he does, and what he does is just pure insanity. I get scared when I watch him. He's a lot of fun to watch. But he took a bump here at the end of this match where he did one of his suicide dives out of the ring at about 80 miles an hour through the ropes where he just doesn't care. I mean, he just goes reckless abandon, just throws himself out of the ring. And he took an ass-first bump right on the top of the railing that I'm sure did not feel too good. But Fénix ended up winning with a thrust kick, clothesline Jungle Boy out over the top. Like I said, I wasn't really a fan of this until we got down to the nitty-gritty here at the very end. Then it got real good. Pac, Fénix, and Jungle Boy are three of the best in the entire company. Pac and Fénix, they were my pick to win the whole thing for my predictions that I put up on YouTube last night. I just thought Pac and Fénix against the Young Bucks for the belts, that to me was the most appealing match. I think that's going to be a hell of a match. And I don't know when they're planning on doing it. It's not going to be on TV this week. We're going to get Rey Fénix one-on-one Wednesday against Matt Jackson. But the right team won. I was very happy to see them pick up the win here in this match. Dasha was backstage. She interviewed Paul White. The only time we saw Paul White all night. White all night was in this segment. He did not come out later on for the big reveal, but he was outside the locker room of this mystery person, this mystery signing. And he gave us a clue as to the person's identity. He said that there's nobody in this company that is going to outwork him. And what we didn't know is that they were playing off of what Christian's new catchphrase is going to be. He's already got a t-shirt. Of course, we didn't know that, so that really wasn't much of a clue. But that was the one clue that they gave us. We had Hikaru Shida defending the AEW Women's Championship against Rio Mizunami. Mizunami was the winner of the Women's World Title Eliminator that has played out over the last few weeks, with the winner getting a shot at the championship. I have made my opinion and my thoughts on this very clear. I think it was booking malpractice not to send Britt Baker to the finals of this tournament and have her win and go on to challenge Shida for the title. I'm not even saying that Britt Baker is a better in-ring wrestler than Rio Mizunami. She's not. But she's been more featured on AEW television. I have largely enjoyed her heel shtick and the stuff with her and Reba. She's been more prominent on television. I didn't know much at all about Rio Mizunami outside of the last few weeks. All of a sudden, this woman is challenging for the championship on an AEW pay-per-view. Clearly, she's not coming into the company full-time. I thought that was a mistake before tonight, and now that the pay-per-view is over, I still think it was a mistake. Not to have someone like a Britt Baker or Thunder Rosa, but Britt Baker go over and win the tournament. Instead, we got Rio Mizunami. So they tried to get over the history between them dating back over a decade. Honestly, you know, it was hard for me to care. They had a good match. I thought the match was good. I thought they went way, way, way overboard there in the last few minutes. Now, maybe you can say this about a lot of, you know, big-time matches in AEW when it comes to the near falls and the kickouts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it just really stood out to me here. All the Mizunami kickouts by the end. By the time it ended, I was just kind of relieved. I just thought they really overstayed their welcome with all those extra near falls. If you would have shaved some of that off, tightened things up a little bit there, it would have been better. Mizunami hit a Uranage and a spear, and then a top rope leg drop for a near fall. Shida hit a Falcon Arrow and hit the Tamashi knee strikes. Falcon Arrow again, only got a two count. Mizunami hit a lariat. Shida hit another. There were a lot of these. Another Tamashi using eye poke for a near fall. Mizunami tried a DDT. Shida turned it into a Uranage. Another Tamashi by Hikaru Shida. And then she hit a corkscrew Tamashi. And finally, she got the pin. And she retained her women's championship. After the match, Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero ran out. Nyla hit Shida from behind while she was celebrating. And she starts putting the boots to Mizunami. And out comes Britt Baker. And Maki Ito comes out. And Rebel comes out. And then eventually Thunder Rosa comes out. And all the heels scatter. They all scamper away. They all run scared from Thunder Rosa, as they should. If Thunder Rosa was running after me, I would be scared too. So they chase all the heels away. They announced that Double or Nothing May 30th in Jacksonville. For the second year in a row, they are now going back to Vegas. It's just not time yet. So, and interestingly, it's going to be another Sunday pay-per-view. I thought this might just be a one-time only thing, but apparently the next one is going to be on a Sunday too. Sunday, May 30th is going to be Double or Nothing. What did you guys think of that women's match? Were you a fan of it? I thought it was good, but I can't sit here and rave about it. It just sort of dragged on for me there at the end. Miro and Kip Sabian against Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. Alex Marvez was in the back, and he was there to interview Chuck Taylor and OC. When Miro and Sabian attacked him, Miro put Chuck Taylor face first through a small glass window in a nearby door. And he ordered that his music be played as he drags Chuck Taylor out to the ring. So the match starts. It's two against one, and there is no Orange Cassidy. So this poor guy has to go at it one against two. Eventually, Orange Cassidy shows up. He drops Miro with an orange punch. DDT to Kip Sabian. Chuck Taylor makes a blind tag, hits a pile driver. Goes for the pin, but Miro races in and punches him right in the face to break up the pin attempt. Miro and Cassidy square off. Cassidy hits a stunner, orange punch. Penelope Ford gets up on the apron, and she distracts Orange Cassidy by standing there. Miro slams Cassidy. Somewhere in here, I think, was it Miro or Cassidy got sent into Penelope? Because the announcers at the very end made it a point that Miro did not seem too bothered by the fact that Penelope Ford got bumped in this match. And they made a comment about what kind of best man is he. You know, Penelope, she went down and he didn't seem to care. I'm hopeful that that is the first sign of Miro just not giving a shit about these two and eventually breaking off and moving on, which is going to happen eventually. But to me, he's already been around long enough where, why is he still involved in this? I'm not saying put the world title on the fucking guy, but why is he still entangled with Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy? And you know we're going to get a singles match now. This is not over. We're going to get Miro and we're going to get Orange Cassidy. I mean, enough already. It's time to move on from this. At least Miro got the win. The one thing I liked about this is that Miro was out there looking like a killer. And he got the win. He locked Chuck Taylor in the game over submission, right? The accolade. And he got the submission win, and that was really the best part about the entire thing. So they announced, we had a backstage segment with the Inner Circle, not very happy about their loss earlier to the Young Bucks. And they made the announcement that there is going to be a segment on Dynamite coming up this Wednesday. It's going to be the Inner Circle War Council. Chris Jericho says that it's time for a change. And I hope you're paying attention to MJF during this segment, because I was. And MJF was staring a hole. He was burning a hole through Chris Jericho, and he said, you know what, Chris? I agree with you. It is time for a change. So, looks like somebody is being dethroned as the leader of the Inner Circle, probably on Wednesday. on Dynamite. And it's going to be the man who took the losing fall in the tag team match, which was Chris Jericho. He was the one who took the losing fall in the match tonight. Hey, Jared M., thank you, brother. $55 super chat drop. Look at poor Vince McMahon. That's Vince's look when he saw Christian Cage walk out on the pay-per-view tonight. I'm sure Vince is just devastated. What is Vince McMahon going to do with himself? How is he going to sleep? Knowing that the big acquisition for AEW was Christian, who he obviously cared so much about that whatever negotiations they were having, he allowed them to just fall through. It kind of goes to what I was saying, where if this were any other major star, and I understand that, and I'm not trying to beat up on Christian, but for fuck's sake, I understand that Christian, you know, Christian was part of the whole TLC era, and he is a former world champion, had a great feud with Randy Orton back in 2011. People ask me sometimes, does Christian belong in the WWE Hall of Fame? It's such a stupid question because everybody gets into the WWE Hall. You know, they talk about the WWE Hall of Fame as if there's an actual process to get into the Hall of Fame. Everybody will eventually get into the Hall of Fame unless they're on the outs, which Christian now is with the company. When they start running low on names, that's when they move down to the next rung below. And people like Christian will, yes, eventually be inducted into the Hall of Fame. But when you hear stories about, like the one that Edge told about how he got an offer from Tony Khan and he was thinking about going to AEW, but he went to Vince first and said, look, I got this offer. And Vince says, you're not going to wrestle anywhere else, pal. If you're going to wrestle anywhere, it's going to be for us. And apparently they signed him to this unbelievable deal. It's like this multi-million dollar contract. Remember those reports from last year? If that was an Edge or Randy Orton or somebody like that, right? Vince McMahon would never let them walk. The fact that there were negotiations for Christian to maybe sign a contract and come back and they fell through, that tells you everything you need to know right there about where they saw him in the pecking order. And that's, frankly, where a lot of fans see him. So, again, I go back to the whole language thing. When you use certain words to describe a great new talent acquisition, words matter. And you need to be very careful with how you promote it and how you build it up because people's expectations end up going sky high. Point is, I don't think Vince McMahon, from that gift there, I don't really think Vince McMahon is going to lose too much sleep over it. I personally, honestly, I'm just shocked that after all these years, Edge came back and they put Christian in the Rumble and he looked good. And there was I thought that there was money in an Edge and Christian reunion at some point. And, you know, especially when crowds are back and you can go on the road and do Edge and Christian matches against the Usos and other teams. The New Day. There's money in that. The fact that they thought so little of this guy that they just allowed whatever their negotiations were to just fall apart, I think speaks volumes. Big money match. Hangman Page against Matt Hardy. With the winner taking the loser's earnings for the first quarter of 2021. They brawl to the outside. Hardy posted Page's hand, his right hand. He was biting his fingers and trying to break his hand. Hardy was working it over for a while. Private Party, at one point when Matt Hardy was in some trouble, Mark Quinn, Isaiah Cassidy, they ran in to try to stall for time, basically, to let Hardy recover. Hangman came back with clotheslines for both of them. Went for the buckshot lariat, but Matt Hardy turned it into a side effect for a great near fall. Dark Order ran out to save Hangman and take care of Private Party. And Hangman got knocked off the apron. This was actually probably the best spot of the match. He gets knocked backwards off the apron. And all of the Dark Order members, they have clustered together so that they can catch him when he falls. And then they vault him back up vertically onto the apron. Hangman then vaults himself in over the top rope for the buckshot lariat. He annihilates Hardy with it, and he gets the win. So, the winner of the big money match. There was no other outcome here that would have made sense. Hangman Page wins. I now look forward to the inevitable skits, whether it's on Being the Elite or on Dynamite, where he's spreading the wealth and he's giving money to the Dark Order members, and John Silver can go and try to spend his newfound fortune. Otherwise, I don't know why you would bother doing the stipulation if Hangman was just going to hoard all the money. He's going to spread it around a little bit. He's going to spread it to his new friends. He was hugging and embracing the Dark Order. They were all celebrating and drinking beer together when the match was over. It was a very touching moment. We had a Face of the Revolution ladder match with the winner getting a TNT title match this Wednesday on Dynamite against Darby Allin. They had an actual brass ring. Looked like a donut ring hanging from the ceiling above the ring. It looked like something Sonic the Hedgehog would try to catch. The winner would have to literally grab the brass ring. No different than you would be grabbing a briefcase or grabbing a championship belt. Cody Rhodes, Penta El Cerro Miedo, Lance Archer, Scorpio Sky, Max Caster of the Acclaimed, whose rap tonight included a line about blood on my hands like Governor Cuomo. He's good. He's good. This kid's good. It was better at least than his line from last week about Lady Gaga's dog walker who got shot. That was just fucking dumb. And the mystery sixth entrant in this match, All Ego Ethan Page, is now All Elite. Most recently, we saw him in Impact Wrestling, right? He was part of the North. Now he is with AEW. A fine talent pickup. I think a fine acquisition for the company. And somebody who they didn't really hype up. They just said, hey, we got an open spot in the ladder match and we'll have to wait until Sunday and find out who it is. And then out walks Ethan Page. And I thought, all right, that's pretty cool. Because they didn't overhype it. They didn't drop little hints that made you think it was somebody who it wasn't. They just said, we're going to unveil a mystery entrant on Sunday. Tune in to see who it is. There is something to be said, unless you actually have something worth promoting to a large degree, to just holding back and just letting it speak for itself. So I think Ethan Page finding a home in AEW is fine. I think that's very cool. So I'm not going into every spot. It was the usual ladder mayhem that you would see. Everybody got a chance to shine and do a big spot or take a big bump here in this match. Penta hit a destroyer to Cody on a ladder bridge, which was pretty crazy. And Cody had the kinesio tape on his shoulder. Now, he does have a partial tear in his shoulder. So he is nursing a legitimate injury, which I assume is why he wasn't working as much as a lot of the other guys were. And they were focused on the shoulder. And in fact, after this destroyer on the ladder bridge, which really should have taken him out of the fucking match, he did eventually come back. But it took him out of the match for a few minutes. Ethan Page at one point powerbombed Lance Archer off the ladder as he was trying to climb. At which point, Jake the Snake Roberts jumped into the ring and he gave Ethan Page a short arm clothesline. And then as soon as Jake turned around, poor Jake ate a super kick from Penta and he went down. He must be doing better. I've referenced the interview, the podcast interview he did a few months ago. I wish I knew. I don't remember what the show was, some video show on YouTube. And he had the tube that was, I don't know exactly, it was up through his nose or whatever. It was to help him breathe. It was connected to an oxygen machine. And he was talking about the fact that he's got to walk around with it now because of all those years of smoking. He has breathing problems. He's got COPD. And now I see the guy on TV doing short arm clotheslines and taking bumps. And then I see him sitting on the apron huffing and puffing. I'm hoping he was just selling and he wasn't gasping for air. So I'm hoping that I think he quit smoking and maybe he's improving. Maybe he's doing better. But I get a little worried when I see that. So Cody, as I said, Cody eventually did make it back into the match. And he went for a Cody cutter at one point from the top rope. I think Penta might have been climbing a ladder and Cody came off the ropes with a Cody cutter. I don't know if it was Cody or Penta. Somebody botched it. Didn't exactly go off the way it should have. And Penta then hit Cody with a chair as he was climbing the ladder. Scorpio Sky was my pick to win the match, which just seemed obvious because he was the one who was doing commentary on Dynamite for one of the matches on Wednesday, and he was acting more heelish. I thought, okay, there's a reason for this. I'm going to pick him. Yeah, it's like, Pikachu, I choose you. He was the one that I picked for that reason. I said, there's got to be a reason why they're giving him more FaceTime at the commentary booth on that show last Wednesday. Scorpio hit Penta with a chair as he was trying to climb the ladder. Cody jumped back up, climbed the ladder with Scorpio Sky, who basically punched Cody off the ladder. And Scorpio Sky reached up and he pulled down the brass ring. And so Scorpio Sky is going to get the TNT title match with Darby Allin coming up this Wednesday on TV. I'm not expecting a title change. I don't think I would do one yet. But it depends how hard they plan on pushing Scorpio Sky, you know, as a singles. Maybe they feel like they want to do a title change now. Maybe he's going to go full on heel and then Darby's going to chase for it. Anything's possible. I thought the ladder match was good. There was nothing about it that really stood out to me. I mean, I feel like it takes a lot to impress me when it comes to matches like that now, just because we've seen so many of them. And when it was over, I just thought, okay, it's a great spot for Scorpio Sky. I'm happy to see him go over. There was nothing overly spectacular about the match. It was fine. They all, you know, they're going to wake up in the morning, I'm sure, and not feel very good. So good effort by everybody, but it was good. It was good for what it was. And then it was time for the big announcement. They had a podium, I think out on the stage, and there was a contract for the newest talent acquisition for All Elite Wrestling, and there's a countdown on the screen. And then the words, Christian Cage, appear. And out he walks, Captain Charisma himself, Christian Cage. There we go. See, we even got some artwork for you. Look at that. That's better special effects than AEW had at the end of their pay-per-view tonight. These are just layups. I mean, come on. These are easy. I got to take these opportunities here where I can. But there he is, Christian Cage, the big, big, major, huge star that Tony Khan and Paul White and AEW was promoting here for this pay-per-view. He comes walking out. He's doing his thing, you know. He's doing his pose, you know. See all the 1,300 fans that we have here. It's more fans than he saw at the Royal Rumble, I'll tell you that. I feel bad. Because it's going to come off like I'm beating up on Christian. I don't look at it as beating up on Christian. I'm just being honest about his position, you know, relative to the biggest of stars. He's not at that level. He's a notch or two below. He's a very talented guy. I think that he can be an asset to the company, working with a lot of their talent. And I want to see him get that one last run and end things on his terms, and not because some doctor says, hey, you know, we're not going to let you in the ring. So I'm happy for him. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for him to end things the way that he wants to. He's 47 years old now, but at the Royal Rumble, he was in that match for a long time, and I thought he looked good. It almost looked like he never even missed a day. You would never know. He's been out of the ring for about 7 years. But I really think that when the hype machine went into full effect, because you had to know that was going to happen, there was absolutely no way that he was going to be able to live up to those expectations. There's no way. A fine acquisition for AEW, but a massive disappointment as far as a big, big, huge, huge major signing. But he came out, he signed his contract, he showed everybody his new shirt that said, Outwork Everyone, and he is now officially All Elite. And that was it. Never said a word. Paul White wasn't out there. Nobody was out there. He just showed up. I guess we'll see him on Wednesday, I assume, on Dynamite. We have no idea the terms of his contract. We don't know if he's going to be on TV every week. I mean, looking at the way they've used Sting, he hasn't missed a week of television. So I would expect Christian to probably be on the show every week. You'll probably be seeing a lot of him. Speaking of Sting, he was up there. Oh, we have an update. I'm hearing we have an update. Hold on. Zach. Okay, Zach just sent in a super chat with an update on Eddie Kingston. And he says that Eddie Kingston is still selling. Okay, there you go. Okay, so we have an update now. There it is. Okay, you see it on your screen. Thank you, Zach. Thank you for the $5, by the way. Eddie Kingston is still selling the horrific injuries from the end of tonight's pay-per-view. That is breaking news. Sting and Darby Allin in a street fight against Brian Cage and Ricky Starks of Team Taz, which turned out to be a cinematic match after all. I went from thinking this is going to be a cinematic match to seeing Sting take bumps, and he's practically wrestling on television at Daly's Place, and I thought, okay, well, maybe it's just going to be a regular match. And if you think about it, it was kind of shitty because you had 1,300 people who were in the building. And I heard from a couple of people who were there. Two people is not a huge sample size. There were people in the building who were very upset when they realized that Sting was not going to be there live, when Sting was not going to be wrestling live in the building. AEW never said this match was going to be cinematic in nature. They never said it was going to be from an undisclosed location like they did tonight. Oh, they're at an undisclosed location. So you had a lot of people who were there at the show live who expected to see Sting competing live in the building. And it wasn't until it was match time that they realized that that was not the case. And I can understand that. I can understand those people being upset. So kind of a shitty deal there. But it turned out to be cinematic after all. Justin Barrasso of Sports Illustrated had dropped some tweets before the show giving us an update on the street fight and the fact that it would be cinematic, the fact that it was taped. And this is what he had to say. The street fight has already been taped, cinematic style. He was told that the match was a massive success and highlights Sting while ensuring he worked in as safe an environment as possible, allowed Ricky Starks and Brian Cage to also have some star-making moments, and gave Darby Allin, who had a chance to apply his film school background, more chances to be a daredevil. Now that I've actually watched the match for myself, I thought this was awesome. I thought this was the best thing on the entire show. I loved the way it was filmed. I loved the production value. I loved the low music, the brooding music in the background. I loved the drone shots from inside the warehouse and the way that those shots were used. I thought it was exactly the right way to use Sting. And you know what it did? And I'm one of these people that have said for a while now that you've got to let it go. Whenever I would get the emails, oh, Sting and The Undertaker, we still could have gotten a Sting and Undertaker match. No, we couldn't. In the ring, one-on-one, no. That ship sailed long ago. But what you could have done, you could have done a cinematic match between Sting and The Undertaker. And I do think there would have been value in that. Now that we've had a chance to see The Undertaker do the Boneyard thing last year, and now that we've seen Sting in a cinematic match of his own, it does make me sad. Because I do think it was absolutely a missed opportunity. Even in a non-pandemic world, to do a cinematic style match on pay-per-view between Sting and The Undertaker, because this is really the best way. If you're going to have Sting be active, this is the way to do it. You know, you can hide any weaknesses, or if there's things he can't do, you know, you can cut them out or make it look like he can. But it just comes off like the Boneyard match, right? The Boneyard match was just cool. I think we all have a bit of cinematic fatigue at this point. We've seen a lot of cinematic style matches, some good, some not so good. But I just thought this was exactly the right way to use Sting if you were going to have Sting in a match. The only thing I would have done differently in this match is I would not have had the commentary. And I thought Taz was fine. Taz was entertaining when they brought him in for that match to do commentary. I thought the commentary brought the match down on the whole, though. I didn't think it was necessary. That's actually one of the things I liked about the Boneyard match between Undertaker and AJ Styles. We had no commentary. The only soundtrack that we had was from the wrestlers themselves because we could hear them talking to each other and trash talking, and they had music. And I think this would have benefited by having the commentators lay out and just letting the fight and letting the wrestlers and letting the music just speak for itself. I didn't think that we needed Jim Ross and Excalibur, you know, providing commentary over what we saw. So that would be the only thing about it that I would have changed. But we headed to an undisclosed location in a warehouse somewhere with a ring inside. We then saw, after Brian Cage and Ricky Starks arrived, they're waiting, we see Darby out. He is skateboarding to this undisclosed location. Sting, meanwhile, is driving a pickup truck to head to the undisclosed location. They meet up at some point. Darby is hitching a ride now in the back of the truck. Half of Sting's face, this was cool. He had half his face was the traditional Crow Sting makeup. The other half was the black and white Darby Allin makeup. I thought that was very cool. Darby had his own little band of hoodlums, we were told, dressed in robes and Sting masks and Darby masks. They came, they surrounded the ring. We had a referee in the ring, and we were underway. And the match began. Sting and Ricky Starks left the ring. They brawled all around the set, all around the warehouse. And Ricky Starks was daring Sting to get rid of the baseball bat. Why don't you get rid of the bat? And so Sting did. He ditched the bat. And Sting went, and he walked off to go find Brian Cage and Darby. Cage and Darby, Cage was beating the hell out of him, and one of the greatest things I saw all night was in this match when we saw Brian Cage delivering a standing vertical suplex to Darby Allin, holding him up as he walked up a flight of stairs. You don't see that very often. I thought that was a very cool spot. So Ricky Starks speared Darby Allin into a wall. Sting used a fire extinguisher on Brian Cage at one point and blew it in his face. Starks missed the spear into a column. Darby Allin was scaling the column and hit a coffin drop off of it. Then all of a sudden we have a masked man. I don't know why he had to be masked, just to do the reveal, I guess, but it was kind of silly. There was no reason for Will Hobbs to be wearing a mask, but it was Will Hobbs. And he showed up on scene, and he was beating up on Darby Allin. Hook, Taz's son, Hook, without his shirt, for some reason, he ran in to get involved as well. And so, with Sting out of the way, it was now 3-on-1. Poor Darby Allin was just having the crap beaten out of him by Team Taz. Cage and this was unbelievable. So Cage and Hobbs, right? They each grab one end of Darby. So one of them has Darby's legs, his feet. The other one has Darby's hands. They start swinging him. They're swaying him back and forth. And then they throw him through this pane of glass that is leaned up against the wall. And the whole thing just shatters, and Darby falls to the ground. This was awesome. This was filmed like a great fight scene in a movie. That's how it came across. So that took out Darby for a while. Then they went after Sting. Now they turned their attention to Sting. Cage hit Sting with a shovel. Eventually Darby recovered. He tossed the bat to Sting. So Sting got his baseball bat back in his hands, and he was using it as a weapon. Darby hit Cage with an elbow drop from, he must have been, I don't know, a couple of stories up. He was basically standing in a window. Cage was laid out down below. Darby did a huge dive, and they fell through. The whole thing collapsed. It's a very impressive-looking drop. Ricky Starks and Sting came down to Ricky Starks and Sting back in the ring. They had a little bit of a wrestling match together. Sting reversed the powerbomb attempt into a sunset flip for a near fall. Scorpion Death Drop gets the pin. Sting and Darby Allin are your winners. And this was awesome. I love this. This was great. Even though Cage and Starks lost, I think they did come out of this looking good. It was interesting that they trusted Ricky Starks, certainly more than they did Brian Cage, to do most of the work and most of the spots with Sting. Reminds me of kind of the way WWE trusted Heath Slater when Bret Hart first came back in 2010, and Bret was going to be in the match at SummerSlam and all that, the big 10-man tag against the Nexus. If you remember, in any of the brawls on TV, and at SummerSlam, the one guy from the Nexus who Bret worked with almost exclusively And, you know, the person who took bumps from Brett was Heath Slater because they trusted him. And I feel like that was the same idea here. They trusted Ricky Starks to work with Sting and take care of him, and he was a safe guy for him to work with. And I thought Sting looked good, Darby looked good. You know, just Darby being able to work with Sting in this way, it elevates him a little bit. So I just thought this was the perfect use of him and my favorite part of the entire pay-per-view. And then we came to the main event. We came to the exploding barbed wire death match for the AEW World Championship, Kenny Omega, defending against Jon Moxley. Three sides of the ring ropes were wrapped in barbed wire. They left one side open with just regular ring ropes. Contact with the barbed wire would trigger explosives on that side of the ring. Three zones on the floor that were wired to explosives. And if after half an hour, if after 30 minutes, all of the bombs and all of the explosive devices were not set off and detonated, they would all be exploded at the same time. They made that a point to tell us that because they were clearly building to a big explosion at the end of this match. Didn't quite go the way they had hoped. Bombs away. Not quite. Bryce Remsburg was the referee. He looked like Walter White standing in the ring. He had a hazmat suit. He was dressed from head to toe in this fire retardant outfit. He had a face shield on for his own safety. We got our friend. Actually, he looks more like Jesse Pinkman than he does Walter White. But in any event, we got our first explosion 3 minutes into the match when Omega whipped Moxley into one side of the ring after Omega threw powder in Moxley's eyes. And as soon as the explosion went off, Moxley, of course, kicked out. So Omega drops Moxley down knee first on top of a garbage can. Then he hits a Kataro Crusher onto the trash can. Moxley comes up bleeding right above the eye. He's wearing the crimson mask now, just completely covered in blood. And Moxley sent into the barbed wire board that was propped up in the corner. So now he's got the barbed wire in his flesh, right? This is what people love. They love this. They love this deathmatch stuff. They love the barbed wire. They love the bombs. I mean, where were the staple guns? Why don't you just go all the way with it? They should have had staple guns and cheese graters. They didn't have any of that stuff out there. Omega got kicked into the ropes, so we had an explosion. And then Moxley gave him a shotgun drop kick into the ropes, and for a second time, another explosion followed. Moxley delivered a side slam onto a steel chair that was wrapped in barbed wire. Tony Schiavone, at this point in the match, very casually reminded us that we were less than 15 minutes away from the entire ring exploding. I just loved how casual he was. Like, oh, by the way. Paradigm shift off the apron down onto a barbed wire board on the floor. Omega got dropped right on his head, but Moxley looked like he took the brunt of it because he was laying in the barbed wire. He had to pluck himself out. You could see the cuts and the lacerations on his arms. Back in the ring, Kenny Omega hit a low blow. Powerbomb with a high stack only gets a near fall. So Omega hits the one-winged angel. Now, we have not seen, to my knowledge, up to this point in AEW. I know, I think Okada kicked out of it in New Japan, but in AEW, that is the most protected finish in the entire company. I don't believe until tonight that we have seen anybody kick out of the one-winged angel. Could be wrong. I can't remember if somebody did. He hits the one-winged angel. Moxley gets his foot on the rope. That causes an explosion, which blinds Omega. Moxley grabs a barbed wire bat. Out come the Good Brothers, the Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions. They run down to the ring, and Moxley beats them away with the bat. Omega uses an exploding barbed wire bat on Moxley. An exploding barbed wire bat. As soon as he hits him in the face with it, it explodes. Remember Papa Shango many years ago? He had that exploding stick or whatever the hell it was. It would shoot out pyro. That's kind of what that reminded me of. Running one-winged angel onto a chair, and that finishes it for Kenny Omega. He retains the AEW championship with that move. Good Brothers now are beating down Moxley after the match is over. They handcuff John Moxley's hands behind his back. Moxley is all by himself. He is defenseless. Now he is cuffed. He has nowhere to go. The announcers realize that, wait a minute, we're only a minute or two away from bombs away, which is when we suddenly hear sirens, and then right up on stage we have a countdown clock that is counting backwards from 60 seconds. Omega's in the ring. He's slicing and dicing at Moxley's forehead with the barbed wire bat. But when the sirens go off and the countdown starts, Don Callis, who was on commentary, he gets off commentary. He goes into the ring. He tells Kenny, let's get the fuck out of here. All the heels scatter. They get out of the ring. As the heels are running away and the countdown clock is ticking down, no one is helping John Moxley. And I just thought this was the most hilarious thing. Because everybody, all the heels have fled, right? You still have a good 40 seconds on the clock. And you can see at ringside that it might have been Dr. Samson. The doctor is there. Nobody is trying to even get into the ring to attempt to help John Moxley and drag him out. They don't give a fuck about this guy. They would just as soon stand on the outside and watch him get blown to kingdom come. Nobody wanted to help him except one person. One man. His old rival, Eddie Kingston. And when I saw Eddie Kingston come out, I was thinking, you know what? This is pretty cool. I actually thought that we were headed for a really cool finish. For all of the war of words and all of the violence between them and everything, I'm thinking, you know, Eddie Kingston, he couldn't help it. He didn't want to see this guy get killed and die or get maimed or whatever. He's out there to do the right thing. I thought maybe Eddie Kingston was going to take a big bump. He was going to sacrifice himself for John Moxley and there's going to be a big explosion and he would be burned or something. And maybe that was the plan. Maybe that was the idea. So I'm thinking, all right, we're building to a really big kind of crescendo here at the end of the show. And he gets in the ring and he realizes there's just not enough time. Moxley is cuffed. He's laying there. And so Eddie Kingston just covers him with his own body. He's shielding him from what's about to happen. And the clock is counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we hear a pop. We see some sparklers go off. We see some smoke. And that's it. That's it. That was the big explosion. And I'm just waiting. It's like when Austin used the gun on McMahon on Raw and he finally shot it off and it said, a little flag popped out and it said, bang, 316. I thought that was maybe what they were going for, but no. Apparently there was, and I'll read, I mean, I haven't checked any of the news yet, so I don't know what the deal was, but there was some kind of malfunction at the junction. There was some kind of botch and their big climactic finale was completely fucked. And it looked so incredibly lame. I cannot even put into words how lame this looked. And they were still trying to sell it. The announcers were trying to sell it. Eddie Kingston was selling it. The doctors and the referees got into the ring and Eddie Kingston, not even checking on Moxley so much, they're checking on Eddie Kingston because now Kingston has fallen over. Now he's laying on the mat. They're checking on him. They're probably checking on him to make sure he's not embarrassed to death. Why would they be checking on Eddie Kingston? Absolutely nothing happened here. Can't you, like, think on your feet? Okay, this didn't go according to plan, so we'll leave Eddie and we'll check on Moxley. That made it so much worse. The fact that he was actually selling it, I cringed. I seized up. I almost cramped up. This was so bad. And I feel bad for everybody involved because these guys went out there and they tortured themselves. They cut themselves. They bled. They took a lot of punishment. They took a lot of abuse. As far as death matches go, I think it was good. I think it was fine up until the end. And it completely ruined the entire match. And unfortunately, that was the end of the pay-per-view. There was nothing that came after that. That is how they went off the air. They went off the air with a whimper. Like I said, it went over like a fart in church. And it's all anybody is really going to remember this pay-per-view for, and I think that sucks. But it happened, and I don't know who is heads might roll. I don't know if anyone's responsible for it or not, but this did not go over well at all. And it was about as bad a way as you can think of to end a pay-per-view. So, it's, look, the joys of live television, right? When you want to do a match like this and you want to have all the special effects, that's what's going to happen sometimes. Sometimes it just doesn't go the way you want it to go. You've got to make sure you've got all your ducks in a row, and sometimes something gets screwed up in there, and you end up with a result like the one we had tonight. Matthew is going to have a fucking ball with this when it comes to Botchamania. He can dedicate an entire series of episodes just to that match, just to that fit. He's going to get so much mileage out of that. Because it will go down as one of the biggest botches that we have ever seen in a match on pay-per-view. In a major match like this, a major main event. I mean, we've seen things go wrong before and stuff. You know, the Hulk Hogan fireball at Halloween Havoc against the Ultimate Warrior. You know, when you're dealing with fire and pyro and explosions and stuff, you're always taking a risk. Because sometimes it just isn't going to work out the way you want it to. That was embarrassing. What happened with Hogan and Warrior that year, that was embarrassing enough. Trying to light the flash paper and it's not working, and then he burned his own eyebrows off. I think Hogan burned his own eyebrows off. But what are you going to do? Shit happens, right? What I'm very interested to find out, though, is how this affects your opinion of the show in the Twitter poll. Because I have a feeling it's going to definitely skew the results of this show. And there you see, we already have, look at that, over 2,000 votes. I decided for this one, we'll do thumbs up, thumbs down, and thumbs in the middle. Yeah, thumbs up has the most at this point, 41%. Thumbs in the middle is 31.7, and you see about 27% or so voted thumbs down on this show. It's definitely a different reaction than the reaction that last year's Revolution show got. That is for damn sure. But I will tell you, I did not expect when this pay-per-view is over that I would be laughing. I would be laughing as hard as I was. I had to compose myself before I came on to do this stream. Howard wants me to stop being mean. See, Howard, the thing is, I'm not mean. I tell the truth. People don't like that sometimes. When everything is all flowery and roses, this is so great. Everybody loves it. The minute you have something negative to say, you're just a hater. No, I saw a shitty finish to a pay-per-view and I called it out. That's not a matter of being mean, it's a matter of being honest and not sugarcoating it. We don't do that around here. So I can't say that Revolution on the whole was a bust, but it was definitely disappointing. Underwhelming in many ways. Yeah, a lot of hard work on the show. Love the cinematic match. I thought the opener was very good. I probably would give it a light thumbs up. I don't think I would say thumbs down. If you just judge it, though, on the things that were promoted the most, you could make the argument that, you know, it might have been a slight thumbs down. But I think on the whole, I would give it a very, unenthusiastic thumbs up. Just didn't come out of the show thinking that it was one of the best efforts they've ever put forth. Not even close. We've seen so many shows that AEW has put out that is so much better than what we got tonight. You know, sometimes it just doesn't work out the way you want it to. Sorry, that's the way it works. So, let's... I'm getting another breaking update here. Hold on a second here. Got some more breaking news. I see. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Apparently, Eddie Kingston has finally been carried from the ring. He is communicating. He is communicating in sign language. There is no verbal communication coming from him, but he is conscious. If you put your finger in front of his face, he is able to kind of follow it back and forth. If you hold up, how many fingers am I holding up? You know, he's off by a few digits, but, you know, it might all come back to him. So, again, we wish all the best to Eddie Kingston, and when we get more updates on him, we will bring them to you right here live on YouTube. Manny D. I love how the first Super Chat has absolutely nothing to do with tonight's pay-per-view, but it does have to do with AEW. He wants to know my thoughts on Jonathan Gresham. Possibly one day going to AEW, I think that would be a great acquisition. I think Jonathan Gresham is a very talented wrestler who I think would be an asset to any company that he works for. He's an asset to Ring of Honor, and who knows, he could be an asset one day to AEW as well. Ryan Spies, Al Snow being there got me heated after the stream. Look up the stuff he said about Abaddon. It was not great. I vaguely remember there being something Abaddon, I think, was very upset with him about. Might have been some comments he made during a training seminar, but I don't have the full story. But yeah, they had him on camera. Al Snow was actually in the audience with his mask on. Not his avatar or shinobi mask, but a face mask. Ryan also says, I don't care how underwhelming it might seem to some, Christian Cage being signed was so awesome. Glad he can get another run without being in Edge's shadow. And I agree. I'm very happy for him. Again, my feelings on the announcement being underwhelming and coming across as a letdown doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Christian, I think, is very deserving of having one more chance to end his career the way that he wants to, in a place that will appreciate him. Clearly, WWE did not, or else they would have been able to work out a deal, right? Just like they did with Edge. They obviously didn't think as much of Christian as they did of Edge, or else they would have signed him. I know that guy, Jason Solomon. Did I just give $5 to myself? Worst WrestleMania main event, Maven against Danny Basham or Elijah Burke against Orlando Jordan? You can take them both and you can put them in a garbage bag and you can throw them away. That is not a WrestleMania main event. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $10. I just shouted him out on the podcast earlier today. Rizzo, by the way, 3 hours. Episode 694 that went up earlier this afternoon. 3 hours. Now we're doing a stream tonight. That's a lot of sound off. So if you didn't hear the podcast earlier today, tune in tomorrow. It'll be there for you, whether it's iTunes or whether it's Spotify, Podbean. Hope you'll give that show a listen. We get into a lot of good stuff. Rizzo, first AEW pay-per-view I bought, and it was awful. The ending was bad. Christian is another ex-WWE guy they brought in. A lot of botches. Not good, Solomonster. Yeah, you know, I would say that if this is your first AEW pay-per-view, they have had much better shows than what they had tonight. And it wasn't all bad, but, you know, again, the key stuff, you've got to deliver on the key stuff. And I'm seeing a lot of disappointment in the comments, and not just over the Christian announcement, but just a lot of disappointment. You know, people who were not overly impressed by what they saw. The True Heel Master, now the ending of the match was a letdown, but the pay-per-view overall was good. Anthony King, thank you for the $5. I appreciate that. Austin Sanders, where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom. Oh my God, Marvin the Martian, I love it. I fucking love it. Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom. Remember the old JVC kaboom boxes that used to sponsor WWF shows? Naif again with the $10. Thank you. Josh M. My daughter popped Better Pyro on New Year's Eve, and she's 4. Boots! How did I miss Boots? Well, I know why, because it came in before the stream started. Boots with the $50 super chat. Thank you, Boots. Don Callis should have saved the ending by laughing at the weak explosions and admitting that he and Omega fooled everyone. That's exactly what I said. Yeah, I agree. 100%. You could have saved that ending. You could have saved it. All you had to do was just send them back out there. Just send them back out there. As Eddie Kingston is hovering over John Moxley and say, ha ha, we got you. You fools. They could have easily saved that. Granny hell yeah with the $5. Callis and Omega spent many sleepless nights preparing that explosion. Well, you know what? They could still do it on Dynamite. They can't save the ending of this pay-per-view tonight, but they could go on the air on Wednesday night and say that they planned that all along. Exactly what I just talked about. So if I'm them, even if I have to kind of tweak the story a little bit, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm sending those guys out on TV on Wednesday and saying, hey, we got you. We fooled you. You fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Anthony King. I was totally right about Christian. You dismissed that guess with the quickness last time. You were convinced that it wasn't Christian. I don't remember that at all, but it's possible. Sabian Esco, my farts are bigger than that explosion. Carlos, thank you for the $10. B. Vincent, 86 with the $5. All that money the company has, and they can't buy some M80s. Brian Becerra. So Christian was the big surprise. I take it that he'll be the one who will take the title off of Omega. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I suppose it's possible, but... You know, I don't think that that would be wise. I just don't think you got to do that. When AEW first crowned their champion, I was a big advocate for putting the title on Chris Jericho, not Hangman Page. Hangman was not ready for that spot. Hangman now is ready for that spot. You just got to build up to it a little bit because right now he's just kind of mired with Matt Hardy in the Dark Order. You got to take a couple of months and kind of build them up to it. But it was absolutely the right call for Chris Jericho to be the first AEW champion. And then the title went to Jon Moxley. And you realize that, okay, that's two former WWE main eventers. Eventually, you've got to make sure you get that title onto an AEW guy. And they did with Kenny Omega. Omega really should drop that title to a, I can't say homegrown, but more of an AEW talent. I think if he just drops it to another ex-WWE guy, everybody who levies those criticisms against AEW is going to be completely validated. There is no need for that title to be transitioned to another WWE guy next. It should be going to a Hangman Page, or it should be going to somebody else, even a Lance Archer. Somebody who isn't just looked at as another guy from Vince's company, it's got to wind up around their waist. I actually think putting the title on Christian would be a mistake. Now, he could wrestle for it. I think Christian and Omega is a match they should absolutely do at some point. But if the plan is to just put the belt on Christian, let's say later this year, I think that's a big mistake. Zafide the Beast on the tracks. Wow, what a name. I'm pretty sure you'll start off with a bigger boom than AEW's Countdown. TH Revolution, good show, aside from the production issues. My concern is how many former WWE guys they have. Much as I like Christian, it is almost at TNA's level. They do have to be very careful because they are slowly kind of getting to that level. Skull Dipper 125 with the $25 super chat drop. That Countdown ending was an absolute joke. I felt worse for the announcers having to sell it as something devastating than anything else. But overall, a good pay-per-view besides that. Ryan Spies, I'm bummed the bad pyro ruined Eddie's face turn. Jacob Donnelly, I genuinely feel bad for whoever botched that explosion. They're definitely going to be ripped a new one backstage. Magician Sapphire, that ending did Kingston and Moxley no favors. This is Shockmaster levels of bad. Yeah, well, Shockmaster is still the king. But this will absolutely go down as a Botchamania moment, for sure. Matthew, he's got to be licking his lips right now. Professor John Gotti, again, I don't know what to say, man, other than thank you. $400. He dropped a $400 bomb. A bigger bomb than we saw at the end of the AEW pay-per-view. That's the last joke I'll make, I promise. Well, Solomonster wants an explosion to end Revolution, LOL, but seriously, yikes. That moment had me thinking of the Dark Knight fake-out at the end of the bank robbery. Jacob Barnes, the main event was good up until what was probably the most anticlimactic finish that I have ever seen in a big match. T-Mac, if WWE would have booked the ending of this pay-per-view, the ring would have broken like Brock and Big Show, and there would be way more smoke. AEW effed that up. Well, remember, Jon Moxley was once involved in an explosion. It was like the main event. Was it Survivor Series? It wasn't Survivor Series. I'm trying to remember what pay-per-view it was. Maybe it was Survivor Series. It was a match against Bray Wyatt, if I remember, with the exploding monitor. Remember, he had a monitor in his hand and it exploded in his face. Jon Moxley does not have a lot of luck with these explosions. I think you ought to stay away from that. The Chosen One, with the $20, AEW promoting this big name signing tonight reminds me of the time when Dixie Carter was hyping up a big name star she had signed to TNA, only to have it be Tommy Dreamer. AEW just proved tonight that they are TNA 2.0. I am seeing a lot of that. I am seeing a lot of TNA 2.0 comparisons. That's not a good place to be. You don't want the TNA 2.0 comparisons. I'm not talking about Impact today. I'm talking about TNA. You don't want that comparison. The Gary Sphere. Have you heard of the new retirement package for WWE stars? It's called AEW. Don't know whether Vince is laughing or crying at this point. Well, he's too busy blowing up the Raw script for tomorrow night, and apparently blowing up all of his WrestleMania plans. He's too busy to even be thinking about Christian. Ken Terminated, Professor John Gotti's Super Chat, owns the end of Revolution. It does, actually. That was the highlight of the night. It was John Gotti. Lax Max. Other than the botch at the end, I thought this was a very solid show. Main event had me on the edge of my seat until... yeah. Brian Mahoney. No doubt they underdelivered. I think even have a smoke machine fill the ring would have saved it a little bit. Or have stage pyro set up around the ring. I am all for Eddie Kingston as a babyface. A. Lavelle. What's up, Solomonster? Hope you're doing well. I like the pay-per-view. Ethan Page and Christian are good additions. Nice cinematic match. And the main event was good. Give the Oscar to Eddie Kingston. Poor Eddie. If that was his face turn, man, what a fucking shame that was. Ken Terminated. F. Montel Porter, John Gotti is the real MVP. T-Mac, I love Christian, but unless it was Brock, Punk, or Rock, well, it wasn't going to be The Rock, everyone would be disappointed. This was a horrible booking decision on AEW's part. WCW vibes. They really should not have said anything. You know, and I gotta take them to task for this also. And I said this last week. Paul White, right, the Big Show, is being brought in for this new Elevation show on YouTube. And it's going to be premiering next Monday. Next Monday the 15th, him and Tony Schiavone are going to be hosting. Well, they announced this on Twitter. They put a press release out. They put it out on social media. Why wouldn't you just wait? You had Shaquille O'Neal, who was going to be appearing on Dynamite the following week. What a missed opportunity, not waiting and having him walk out there as a surprise. Whether he walks out in the building or just shows up and he's kind of introducing himself to everybody. The point is, why wouldn't you just have him show up on the television show as a surprise? Again, another missed opportunity. But this was worse. This was worse. Just the nature of how it ended up being hyped up. There was never any possibility it was going to live up to expectations. And Christian now gets the brunt of it because Christian now has to go online and see all these messages. I mean, if he cares, saying, oh, what a disappointment. Christian sucks or Christian's not a big star. It's not even his fault. Christian is fine. But AEW screwed themselves by putting this out there the way they did and giving people, you know, 3, 4, 5 days to kind of stew and speculate and wonder who the person was going to be. You know, Christian was not going to be at the top of many people's lists. What did you think the reaction was going to be? They can't be shocked by this. You know, Sting walking out on Winter is Coming, that was a bigger deal than Christian showing up tonight. And I don't recall there being a lot of rumor or talk or confirmed reports about Sting being on Dynamite that night. If they just didn't say a word, Christian walking out weeks after his Royal Rumble return, that would have been a big deal. Darlene, thank you for the $5. There are clips on Twitter of Moxley saying he respects Omega, but he can't build an exploding ring worth a shit. Clever way to spin the ending. Leo Flores, as a whole, the show was great, but the ending was FUBAR. Could have been an all-time classic. B. Vincent, Omega Moxley having another match on Wednesday to erase that crap ending. Is that your suggestion, or has that been announced? I haven't checked the news yet. Let me check. I'll check real quick, though. I will check to see if they've announced anything for the show on Wednesday, as far as any rematch. It's the first I'm hearing of it, but let's see. Let's see if there's any announcement. No, I don't see anything yet. So that might have just been his suggestion. Although I don't know that you would book a... You would book a rematch so soon after an exploding barbed wire death match. I would think they want Moxley out for a while to sell the devastating explosion that nearly killed him. Red Emissary of Darkness. I've seen backyard blood matches in redneck backwoods Oklahoma with bigger explosions than whatever that was. Downright pathetic on AEW. Crazy Cruiserweight. It's Christian Cage. Professor John Gotti dropping another 100 bomb earlier on. That one I did see. Check out that Moxley post-match promo. Kenny Omega can't build an exploding ring worth a shit. Oz and Glorious. Kenny Omega may be a tough SOB, but he can't make an exploding ring worth a shit. Moxley on the mic a little while. I guess everybody is watching the John Moxley promo. True Heel Master, I'm giving the main event a grade of B. I would have graded the main event an A- if they didn't have the bad ending in the post-match. Giovanni Zarate, their issue is that they didn't go all the way with it. They wanted to recreate Funk and Onita in FMW and instead gave us County Fair fireworks. That's not even County Fair fireworks. I said before, that's not even Gilbert fireworks. That ending could not have gone any worse than it did. Could not have possibly gone any worse. Joel Garner. Did you see the tweet after Revolution went off? Moxley grabbed the mic and pretty much said the ending with those sparklers were a botch. Vash, if they're smart, and we know they are, they'll come out with Kenny playing up the crazy, not stupid angle, saying Kingston was icing on the cake. That would be the way to go. I mean, you've got to... It's the only way to play this off, is to have the heels just kind of laugh and cackle and say, hey, we got you. It's the only way to play this off. But you're never going to be able to erase the ending from tonight's show. This will live on in infamy. Angry Magma, watched you since 2010. I am at Angry Magma on Twitter. Well, thank you, Angry Magma. Why are you so angry? You have it in your Twitter handle that you're so angry. Shouldn't be so angry all the time. It's not healthy. Ryan Spies, Rio, will likely be full-time. She stopped her retirement plans to work AEW. Well, that's fine. I still have no interest in seeing her as the AEW Women's Champion. So she can work all the AEW matches she wants. I don't have any interest in seeing her carrying that belt. But maybe over time, she'll win me over. Nathan Cadia, thank you for the five. The women's title and tag titles were my favorite part of the show. Nothing excellent by any means, but nothing bad except for them fireworks. Jared M. with the $55 drop that I mentioned earlier. The True Heel Master. Christian Cage was like, kiss my rear to WWE's contract. He wants that creative freedom with AEW like Sting and Miro. Oh, yeah, look at all the creative freedom that Miro has. It's great. It's great. You know, he's still feuding with Chuck Taylor, and yeah, that's wonderful. That's great. Jay Ray, Tony Khan is saving CM Punk for Double or Nothing. Continue to be patient, guys. Tonight was not a bust. AEW will continue to rise above all of this. Well, there you go. Right? You have somebody who's trying to be overly optimistic instead of just admitting that they screwed the pooch. They fucked up. It's okay. You can admit it. You don't have to lie. Zach Reyna, Eddie Kingston is still selling. Yeah, I've got the latest update. He has been carried from the ring. They are bringing him to the hospital. They're going to be giving him a whole battery of tests to make sure that all of his body parts are functioning. They're going to give him an EKG. They're going to stick those suction things all over his body and make sure his heart is still pumping blood. As soon as we get the update, I will bring it to you here on the stream. Marquand, 1976, Eddie Kingston took a sparkler for Dean Ambrose. David Sorensen, love the show. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate the $5. Dylan Hensley with five. Some people really sent themselves up for disappointment. Y'all knew it wasn't Punk or Lesnar. Some just want to nitpick AEW. Christian is great. No, that's not a matter of nitpicking. It's a matter of you just blindly following like sheep. They made a big announcement. They set people up to speculate on who this big made. Look at the words they use. Big name. Major name. Okay? It's not nitpicking. It's okay. Yeah, you know, it makes me sick when people, they just can't find it in themselves. Maybe they just have a hard-on for hating WWE because that's the easy fucking thing to do. I mean, God knows I do enough of it, but I do it because they put out some really stupid shit. There's also good things that WWE does, and I talk about them as well. Like what they did with Bobby Lashley this past week. What they're doing on SmackDown right now with Roman Reigns and with Apollo Crews. I find the good, I find the bad. AEW is no different. There's good and there's bad. And then you have people who suck the teat. And they just can't find it in themselves to talk about the negatives when there is negative stuff to talk about. Oh, well, you're just nitpicking and you're being negative for the sake of being negative. These people, the people who do that, make me sick. I don't do that shit. If I like it, I tell you I like it. If I don't like it, I'm going to tell you exactly why the fuck I don't like it. And if you don't like it, tough shit. Sorry. I can't stand that. People, they can't take the criticism of the shows. Oh, you must just be nitpicking. Guarantee you, these same people would not be saying that if this were WWE. They'd be the first person on the bandwagon to say, oh yeah, WWE's awful. Vince McMahon is terrible. I don't get it. There's something wrong up here. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Dylan, I love you, but keep sucking the teat. Eventually, though, the milk will run dry. Spanish Goddish, are you taking phone calls? No. It's almost 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not taking phone calls tonight. He says he has a buddy who went to the show and wants to call in. I'm sorry. I would love to talk to him, but it is way too late, and I got way too many messages to get through here, so not tonight. Jacob Barnes, it definitely was not the biggest signing they could have made, and it's a shame that we won't get an Edge and Christian tag team match now, but it was still cool to see him debut in AEW. Reaganomics, bummed we only got one Renee tweet during the main event. Yes, the WTF, I saw that. Always look forward to her reactions of Moxley's matches. She probably passed out on one of the explosions. Turtlehead, I thought the pay-per-view was fine. 7.5 out of 10. Bad finish to the main event, but I think we overlooked SCU losing a tag team match. Are they done now? The announcers made it very clear during that battle royal, Excalibur did, that this would not count. That rule only applies to traditional tag team matches. So they did acknowledge that they are not done. It did not count because the rule is the next match they lose, they're done as a team. Tonight didn't count because tonight was not a regular tag team match. Oz and Glorious, I really dug the pay-per-view. Not perfect or their best, but worth $20 for sure. $20. How'd you pay $20? I paid $50. Deathmatch was still awesome despite the silly end. Hopefully Luther approves. Michael Darcy, where was FTR tonight? Yeah, good question. They were not in the Battle Royal. Lax Max, they could say Kenny built it so that there was actually no explosion at the end. It was a scare tactic. And Kingston passed out scared, thinking he was about to die. That doesn't really help his image. I know you're trying your hardest, LAX, but that doesn't really help. Ken terminated. Even the Street Profits didn't like the smoke tonight. There wasn't much smoke to like. The True Heel Master. I'm pretty sure AEW and Kenny Omega will probably turn the botch explosion into a storyline. I hope they do. Solid Monster, I respect the honesty. AEW needs tough love. Hey, that's what I do, man. You know, again, there's nothing wrong with talking about the things that you think are wrong about the product. You know? A lot of you guys who are in the chat right now, you're with me every Wednesday for the Dynamite streams, and you know that I like a lot more than I hate when it comes to AEW, which is why I watch the show every week. On most weeks, I find it to be a nice breath of fresh air from what I get on Monday night. But there are going to be times where there are things that I don't like. And I don't want people telling me that, oh, you can't say this, or you're being too hard, or you're doing this, you're doing that, you're nitpicking, because it's not. It's called being honest. And what I have found is that there are a lot of people, unfortunately, who don't like honesty. It bothers them. And I tell them, you know, you've got so many podcasts and so many YouTube shows that will give you what you want. Feel free to go ahead and listen to them. Feel free to go ahead and tune in. A lot of them have relationships with the different companies, and that sometimes colors their take on certain things. But even the ones that don't, you know, you got a lot of very cheery, very positive people out there who are going to find the good in everything. Go ahead. Those shows are there for people like you. But if you come here expecting, roses and rainbows all the time and little horsies and ponies, then you're in the wrong fucking place. I don't do that here. And it seems to be working out well for me because I've been doing this for almost 14 years. And people seem to like what they hear and like what they see and they come back. So I must be doing something right. Graham B. Worse than the pyro are the Good Brothers. Go away. All right. Well, Graham is not a Good Brothers fan. Frost, Hell in a Cell 2019, approved of that finish. Yeah, you want to hear one of my all-time epic rants on WWE? You go back and watch that video. I wasn't even on video at that point. It was audio, but you go on YouTube and find my Hell in a Cell 2019 review. That's one of the all-time classics. Let's see. Epsilon Sama. Got to give it up for Eddie Kingston, 1989 to 2021. Rest in peace. Well, he's not dead yet. But that is some of the most horrific injuries that I've ever seen on a wrestling show. Justin from Detroit, if Christian debuted weeks ago and then revealed Big Show tonight, people would have been happier. The roster is getting too big. Killa, late night, getting off work, missed the show. I'm so glad you do these reviews. As a longtime listener and a fan, thank you, Salamonster. I appreciate that. Highly Taiji, I appreciate that a lot. Pedro Velasquez, Salamonster, you are a mean person indeed, but I respect it. Wow. Wow. You are a mean person indeed, but I respect it. Also, thank you for this podcast. I was working out while you started the show. Take care. I'll take that as a compliment. Usually, when I get messages like that that start out calling me a mean person, it's not usually a compliment, but I actually appreciate that. I will take that as a compliment. I guess I'm a mean person. I didn't think I was a mean person, but I guess I was. Well, you know what? If I have to be a mean son of a bitch, then that's what I'll be. Cheers. That's what it takes. I'll embrace it. Jeroy, would be cool to see a feud between Shad Khan and good old Vince. Shad Khan's a lot richer than Vince is. So if it's a battle of money, Shad Khan's going to win that battle. Savage Alou, do you think Meltzer will criticize that explosion, or is the check so big he cannot risk upsetting the billionaire's son? I don't know how he can't not criticize that finish, so that will be interesting to see what Meltzer has to say. Actually, I am very curious. The Genius, the skull logo of your podcast is All Elite. And Christian, I wonder if it's the Christian. Wish they did the main event on the football field. So I think we're all caught up on all of your super chats now. That was a lot. I got to thank you guys. A lot of great support. More than I was expecting here tonight. It's always good to see. We got one more pay-per-view coming up this month where I'm going to be with you. It's on 2 weeks, right? March 21st. It's going to be Fastlane. That is the final pay-per-view on the road to WrestleMania. We've got two nights of WrestleMania again this year, so it's going to be a busy April. We're only into March, but I'm already looking ahead to April. Hey, Colin, thank you for the $5. Funny how the Good Brothers ran out wearing the Impact Tag Team titles, like those even matter now. It kind of feels like they don't, right? Here's Dylan dropping another super chat. Dylan was the one who I had responded to before, so let's see. I agree. AEW is not above criticism. It just bothers me that WWE puts on terrible shows all the time. No one cares. Yet AEW makes only a few mistakes and people act like it's the end of AEW. Well, I'll say this. First of all, I don't think it's right to say nobody cares. I certainly do. I care more than I should. That's why I still get upset when WWE does stupid stuff. I probably shouldn't care, frankly, as much as I do. But I think what happens is, because so many people are so disillusioned by what they see in WWE, they want AEW to do well. A lot of people just have given up on WWE. They can't watch it. They can't stand it. They can't stand Monday nights. Maybe they could tolerate SmackDown, but not Raw. So they look to an alternative. They look somewhere else. And AEW is not radically different than WWE. And they have a lot of ex-WWE guys there. It's not a radically different product. You want a radically different product? That's what Lucha Underground was. That's what the NWA is, which is coming back in a few weeks. Billy Corgan's NWA. That was a throwback to like old school wrestling in a lot of ways. Those are products that look and feel radically different. So I won't say AEW is radically different. And I don't like everything they do. I'm not a fan of everybody on their roster. But I think people are so hopeful that AEW can almost be like their savior. That when they do fuck up or they do something that is terrible or that people think is shit or that they don't like, they botch something up or whatever it may be, I think that they do notice that more, and I think they do get more upset about that because they're hoping that it could be the anti-WWE, and then they go and do something that they don't like. So I do think there is something to that. I think it's a valid point to make. But I wouldn't say people don't care. Like, WWE does stupid stuff, and it's like people don't care. People are numb to it. They're used to it by now. It happens so often that just after a while, again, you just kind of get numb to it. You expect them to do stupid stuff. People don't always expect AEW to do stupid stuff. And when they do, it's more noticeable. And I think that's what you're seeing. I think that's what you're seeing. Let's check the Twitter poll results one final time. You guys can vote at Solomonster. And let me know what you think. Right now, thumbs up is winning, although not by as much as AEW normally would. But you can vote at Solomonster. That is the place to go on Twitter for those of you who want to chime in and let your voices be heard. I sure would love to hear from you. So that is the place where you can go. And that is your AEW Revolution review. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, congratulations to Mr. Woody, who won the Wrestle Rumble contest. I'm sure Wrestle Rumble will be in touch with you if they haven't already. Thank you to them for allowing me to host their contest. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks. We're doing a fast lane contest, giving away more belts. That's always fun to do. And I hope you guys will join me for the fast lane review in 2 weeks. And AEW Dynamite this Wednesday, the fallout from Revolution. I'm going to be live on YouTube after the show goes off the air on Wednesday night. So I hope you'll join me then. Please go back and check out episode 694, a 3-hour podcast I recorded earlier today. A lot of ground is covered on a lot of different topics, including Randy Orton and Soulja Boy, their war of words on Twitter. Had some fun with that. So check out the full podcast. Do hit that like button on your way out. I would appreciate that. And thank you again for all of the super chats. You guys blew me away tonight. This is one of our biggest super chat nights in a while. I love reading all of your messages. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a fantastic night. And I will see you back here for the Dynamite stream on Wednesday. Until then, take care, guys.